My name is Zoe, and I'm a new creation in Christ. And I just wanted to share my story with you. Hopefully you can learn what not to do after a divorce, and maybe it'll help some of you guys. So if you're familiar with the story of the prodigal son, you know of two key characters: the son who did everything right, and the one who took his dad's money and squandered it. You might also know what happened to the second son. He came home when he had nothing left, and his father welcomed him with open arms. I was the middle child born to a lower-income family in rainy Portland, Oregon. My mother ran a daycare in our basement while my father worked two jobs in odd hours, so I didn't see him much. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My mom grew up Catholic, so we recited prayers before dinner, and we were spanked if we cussed, yet there was never a personal interaction with a personal Jesus. My mom spent years experimenting with many different religions and said that she was praying for the real God, whoever he was, to show her the way. When he did, my paradigm also had a major shift. Adolescence, as unequally unkind as it is to everyone, was a particularly lonely time for me. Spurred on by a feeling of inequity with my peers, I wondered if there was any meaning to life and if I truly believed there was a higher being. Just before my 12th birthday, I came upon the 700 Club on the TV and listened to the preacher. His words resonated with me, and I realized that the one thing I was searching for could not be found anywhere on this earth. I accepted that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again the third day. He was my Savior. I ran and told my mom, and she hugged me. She had invited Christ into her life 1 month before and had been praying for the rest of the family ever since. When I turned 20 and was working in my first job, I flew to Dallas for a convention. I stayed at a hotel where I happened to meet a handsome bellman. We made small talk, and we both shared that we were studying at Bible colleges. Our discussion soon changed to life passions before my taxi arrived and I got in. That night, when I arrived back at my room, a note and a worship CD were under the door from the bellman. That birthed an amazing friendship that continued over the next year. Although he was in Dallas and I was in Oregon, we emailed and called each other constantly. During one of our many late-night conversations, he told me that he had asked Christ into his heart in March of 97. While looking back in my diary, I had recorded being moved to pray for my future husband's salvation that same month. The coincidences continued, and the peace in both of our hearts was unquestionable. In May of 2001, we were married. We consummated our marriage on our honeymoon, and I took a lot of pride in the fact that I had waited. At this time of my life, I had a lot of ugly self-righteousness in my heart. I didn't drink, I led Bible studies and prayer groups, and I knew my theology inside and out. I believed that if I did everything right, God would reward me with an easy and happy life. I thought I deserved it. A year into our marriage, however, things turned sour. My husband was fired from his first job. Instead of turning to the Lord for his strength and allowing me to encourage him, he rebelled and started using illegal drugs. At the time, I knew nothing other than that he was retreating further and further away. Over the next 5 years, he became more of a roommate than a husband. On my 29th birthday in 2007, he asked if he could go to a Mavericks game with some friends. I was bummed that he didn't want to spend my birthday with me, but I agreed. Thumbing through the mail that night, I came across the cell phone bill and I opened it. There were pages and pages of calls to a number I didn't recognize. Curious, I called the number. It went to voicemail. "Hi, leave a message," the sultry female voice said. My heart stopped beating. I wanted to puke, scream, cry, throw something, fall into a heap on the floor all at the same time. When my husband returned home, I asked him about it, and he confessed to just a friendship. As I pressed him for answers over the next 2 hours, he finally admitted to much more. I found him later that night talking on the phone in the garage, telling her what had happened. He said he was choosing her over me. I asked him to leave the next day. Over the next few weeks, I unearthed more information than the CIA's most capable spy. I found hotel receipts for nights he'd been working late. The lies continued to come to light, and I realized that I didn't even know this man. Drugs, secret P.O. boxes, credit card accounts, and more painted a much different story than the one I thought was reality. This is where things turn ugly for me. You see, friends, I thought I had done everything right to ensure a happy life. So why did God allow this man to come into my life? Wasn't he the one? I held God responsible for my husband's actions. Angrily, I turned away from God and, like a 3-year-old, resolved to do things my way. You see, friends, I was so empty inside, I was grasping for anything to fill the gaping, hemorrhaging wound. I'm ashamed to admit, I got onto Match.com the very day my husband and I separated. The instant thrill I got from the attention soon turned to heartache as I gave men the same heart I'd once given to God. In many ways, I abandoned my faith. Sure, the deepest recesses of my being still believed in my Savior, but I packed those up in storage boxes and locked them in the basement of my heart. What I didn't realize was that I was also packing up my soul, my very identity. Before my divorce was even final, 1 year later, I'd met a young man and we started dating right away. Our 2-year relationship was neither healthy nor glorifying to the Lord. I ignored warning signs such as drug use and the fact that he kicked my dogs, punched holes in my walls, and the cops had been out to my house multiple times. I made compromise upon compromise until I was left a hollow shell of what I used to be. Kind of like when you come across an old abandoned beehive that had fallen from a tree long ago. I knew that I needed to turn back to the Lord, but I was full of guilt, anxiety, and anger about the direction my life had taken. I felt too far gone to ever be whole again. I knew that Christ had forgiven me, but it was the pervasive sin in my life that kept my heart from receiving it, like an oil spill in the ocean keeps a fish from sucking in the fresh water of life. It was April 2010 when I learned how it felt to be assaulted by my boyfriend. Of course, I tried to resist him holding me down. Bad idea. The next half hour left me with bruises, wounds, and a bloody nose. I cried out to the Lord in my despair, and for a split second, he released his grip on me. I ran out of the house screaming and knocked feverishly on a neighbor's door who came to my rescue and forced him to leave. After this, I cried nonstop for 2 days. I was inconsolable, and I literally wanted to die. Life was painful. I had a divorce, lots of debt, a history of compromise, and now an abusive relationship. This was all so drastically different than what I'd seen for myself when I was younger. Then, on the third morning, I had a very detailed and, I believe, very symbolic dream that lined up with this verse. In Matthew 7:6, Jesus says, "Do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls to pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and then turn to attack you." My friends, this is exactly what happened to me when I gave my heart to men who did not deserve it. From that moment, I was filled with the most incredible peace. Christ loved me still and wanted to get rid of the garbage in my life so I could live a beautiful life of purpose. Not long after that relationship ended, I finally ran out of excuses to not go to the porch, the young adults ministry here at Watermark, with a woman at work. The moment I walked into the sanctuary and heard the worship, I knew I was exactly where I needed to be. I saw God was alive and well and moving. Wanting to dive in headfirst, I went to the launch retreat the fall of 2011, not knowing a soul. It was during one night of worship that he revealed to me that I had never even dealt with my divorce, even though I'd thought I was fine. I sought counsel and was encouraged to go to divorce care. Within 3 months, I was a DC alum, plugged into a community group, had sold my house, was building new godly friendships, and most importantly, was reunited with Jesus, the lover of my soul. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I repented, and my response was much like Job's when he realized God had a plan all along. "No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Therefore, I repent." Over the past 2 years, our mighty God has given me a new chance at life. I am free. He has brought amazing men and women of God into my life, and each has loved me in a unique way, walking with me through my weaknesses and encouraging me towards Christ. He loves me, wants the best for me, calls me back no matter how far I've strayed, and cleanses me. I'm fully devoted to the thirst-quenching, freedom-giving, peace-making Jesus Christ. Christ has also shown me that just because you're a Christian does not mean life is going to be easy for you. Think about Paul. He was stoned, left for dead, thrown in prison, shipwrecked, and bobbing aimlessly in the ocean for 3 days. But Philippians 4:12 says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Just like Paul, God has given me a joy that surpasses any circumstances I encounter. If my life were the story of the prodigal, I'd say I start in both roles. First, the self-righteous one who believed I deserved recognition for my holiness. And then the one who took my treasure and ran away until I was eating with the pigs. His love never stopped pursuing me. I came back to Christ with my nothing, and I am forgiven, whole, and free. A daughter of the King with an inheritance I don't deserve, I am the prodigal.